Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
What is a star? This is a podcast where I just go into the basics of what a star is. I'm giving this podcast actually as I'm barbecuing my family's dinner. So it might be a bit off from time to time there. The family having for dinner, and this is basically nothing more than just chicken. We've got chicken very finely cut, and I'm going to attempt to actually barbecue and tutor at the same time. There must be some sort of record for it. The universe is from you to the edge of universe, or the beginning of time, or 400,000 years after the beginning of time, that's where we can see it, is roughly 46.3 billion light years. I think they know that more directly. And of that space, most of it's empty space. In fact, I did a calculation once that it's all the matter in the universe, if it was the mass of the order of the visible matter in the universe, if it was mass and it had the density of water, it would form a liquid droplet, which would just be large enough to cover the nearest stars. I think it's 26 light years across. I'll have to do that calculation across. So most of the universe is a very empty space. It's only like in terms of if you had a room, the tiniest little speck of water, imperceptible little droplet of water is the amount of matter that's left in the universe. So the universe is mostly empty space. So if you can imagine you're in a room, a reasonably sized room, you breathe out and the actual one little moisture droplet, that's the size, easily the size of mass in the universe. That moisture droplet has the density of water. And if you do the density of water, I'll go on that calculation tree. Now, what you have to understand is that most of our galaxy, if the universe is empty space, our galaxy is also full of absolute empty space. Now, I won't go on the actual size of the solar system, but if we have a universe, a scale of 1 to 1 trillion, so let's say US trillion, which now dominated the entire world. The US beat us, our Brits, to the what a billion was. So a billion is 1,000 million, a trillion is 1,000,000,000. So if you reduce something down the scale by 1,000,000 and then 1,000,000 again, our sun is the size of a small ball bearing or a little one of those candies on top of a cupcake. And just to give you the volume of it, the actual nearest star, Alpha Centauri, is 47 kilometers away on that scale. So for us in Australia, that's sort of like saying that it's as far away, we're up in the Blue Mountains, and it's as far away as the Sydney Opera House, but easily over the horizon if you're not on any decent elevation. It's over the horizon, or if you're in a elevation like I am, about 300 meters up, it's at spot bang on the horizon. That gives you how very, very, very tiny, how much empty space there is. And so in our galaxy, which is 100,000 light years side to side, and that was absolutely correct, I've lived through 200 billion and I'm up to 2 trillion, but I think it's just a trillion stars. Now, when we say stars, the majority of stars, it's 100 million or so ordinary black holes. There's a 4,000 stellar mass black hole in the centre of our galaxy, monster black hole, and when that flares up, it's bad business. But we've been able to map it, and we can definitely say, look, there's a black hole. I'm just looking at this chicken here. It's not not going too well at the moment. So there's that big black hole. And black holes, I think we know what they are in terms of they're only visible due to the amount of radiation they give off when they suck in matter. We've got accretion disks around it. They're only visible or they're visible when they collide. They give out gravity waves as radiation, pretty massive amount of radiation when they do collide. What else about them? Oh, just trying to get this. Sorry, you are listening to a podcast while I Aussie barbecues. Barbie on the Barbie mat. Slap another piece of chicken on the barbecue. So what are they? So black holes. How big is a black hole? Well, there's an event horizon, but it's not big. It's got no dimension. A black hole has left our dimensions of the universe, and it's a bit of a head scratcher. Enormous gravity in a black hole, and around the black hole, if you see it, there'd be no light from directly behind the black hole. The light coming towards you from behind the black hole will be bent around and will be a bit like a lens. So imagine sometimes if you hold up a lens, it appears black, or you can't see the scenery from behind it. So it is, in actual fact, a lens. But exactly what is a black hole, and what is a star? Why are they around? How many are there? Well, majority of stars are very dim, sailing throughout space is a whole lot of wannabe stars, almost on the edge of being a star, but they're really gas planets. Now, these are the red dwarfs. These are very tiny stars, and they give out light mostly in infrared, not in the visible wavelength. The majority of stars out there are infrared, dim stars, and we can't really see them all. I tell you what, if you have a image enhancer, if you have night vision, and you look up, it's just amazing to see the sky. So if, imagine, I can't really describe the number of stars. So if you just have an infrared night vision, and you look there, it's quality stuff, you can see the stars, and it's pretty amazing stuff. So the majority, is, say, Jupiter a star? Well, it's got a little bit of, it's actually not doing any of its own fusion. So a star has to, a definition of a star is that it at least produces, burns up hydrogen to produce helium. Jupiter is just chewing through its own internal deuterium. Deuterium is heavy hydrogen left over from the Big Bang. So during the Big Bang, most of the hydrogen, over 50% of the hydrogen converted to helium, the remaining, I suppose I can't do this calculation, 3 on 7th, it's under 50%, of the hydrogen is now providing all the light in our universe. So a star, by definition, it produces helium, burns helium, and what happens is it doesn't get rid of the helium, it just slowly packs the helium inside it. So a young star will be all hydrogen, and an old star will be just all helium. It will have burnt all its internal hydrogen. So hydrogen's one proton, and it goes through a conversion into a proton, gets converted to a neutron plus an electron, and eventually you get a proton plus electron eventually goes to two protons, two neutrons, and two electrons. Helium is produces this charge conservation production of it. So all stars out there, the definition of a star is that it must reach a critical density such that it produces helium. And our star, I think it will take 14, 10, 11 billion years up time to go over. Other stars, which are much bigger, churn through their, have much more efficient engines that burn their fuel, and they just go off in a few, as little as 100 million years. Lasts no time whatsoever. There's absolutely, truly mind-bogglingly big stars out there, and they last perhaps under a million years. But the vast majority of these stars, which are dim infrared stars, will be still cooking 30 billion years from now. They're just going along, and they'll just slowly brown out. So they're red dwarfs. And the thing about a red dwarf is that it's all convection. So it's, you know, if you've got a pot of spaghetti, mate, and you hit it at the bottom, it boils up. And so these little stars are all convection, so they're convection, and they're pretty angry beasts. For stars getting up to us, they're slightly larger, slightly hotter, and their engine is a bit more efficient on this. So I'm just going to grab this over here. Sorry, mate. And so our star got to a density, and if it, there's a sort of magic zone of a star which makes it nice and stable, and when it gets sufficiently heavy, high enough pressure inside the star, convection stops and the actual centre of the star goes to a solid-like state, a jelly-like state, if you like. It's sort of like, say if you mix sauce in your soup and the soup was hot, it would mix around, but if you put the sauce on a jelly, it wouldn't. And so the centre of our star is, it's the core of our star. So where there is fusion, that is nuclear burning, just looking at this and I'm fine. When there is fusion, is where it's cooking, the burners, so to speak. I like to mix my analogies here because you might be able to hear my barbecue going. Where it's cooking, that's the core. Where it's not, it's the rest. Yeah, it's core and core. Where it's cooking, it's fusion, and where it's not, it's the shell. It's called the shell of the star, and that shell can be, there's sort of three grades of stars. There's convection all the way to the core, so it's bubbling around at the core, and it's a pretty violent star. Or the star can be slightly large, much larger, and after it reaches a certain star size, convection stops, it goes into a state of the plasma, in which the plasma is no longer liquid. Okay, and you can't even actually do hydrodynamics on this. It's really boring. We'll get this done. So that's our star. Our star is at least two-thirds this solid material. And when this solid material goes, it creates... I can't work out how convection, a star which is pure convection, gets a strong solar wind. But our star is a very stable star, like massively stable. And as the stars burn, their engine gets more efficient, more and more efficient. And then as they get to larger and larger stars, it actually starts going to convection, the pressure increases and you get convection again in the center. So that's quite interesting. So this is processes, the convection goes out, but the hard layer of the star, the jelly-like star of the star, goes right up. It's actually got a relatively thin layer on the surface of the star. Now, stars themselves are all, they're all pretty fascinating, but they're all naked. That is, if you can imagine if you've ever prepared a potato, you get a potato peeler and you peel off the potato, and you get rid of the dirty skin and expose the inside. And all stars have been potato peeled by their interaction with the magnetic field, accelerating their atmosphere away. And so our star has a huge atmosphere, which you could say. And it's the atmosphere, if we're orbiting its solar wind, we are technically orbiting in the sun's atmosphere, and the sun's atmosphere goes out to beyond Neptune's orbit, and that's called the heliopause. That's where the atmosphere of the sun meets the atmosphere of the galaxy, and we have this shockwave. In fact, this shockwave is galore. It's a really interesting place to be in our solar system. There's shockwaves galore. We have this beautiful helically spiraling shockwave. So there's a shockwave at the heliopause, but this shockwave's absolutely, just have to check on this. I'd say that's well done. It's hard to see, there's not a lot of light out here. Australia, it's dead set the middle of winter. I think we've just passed our solstice. It used to be big celebrations up in the Blue Mountains, a solstice festival of every called Winter Magic. Okay, so the solstice and stuff like that. So let's answer a few questions. Why are stars round? Well, the reason that they're round is that there's got gravity on them, and the gravity pulls the star in a circle. The gravity means that, say if it wanted to be a different shape, say if it was a mountain, so the more massive a planet is, or an object is, the rounder it is. In fact, there's a certain mass where everything will naturally go round. So it's round because there's gravity pulling it in, pretty much like a bubble. There's a force pushing that bubble inwards. Then your next question is, I suppose to give you a few facts about our sun. Our sun is just 100 times the diameter of our Earth. But that means it's 100 times wider, it's 100 times deeper, and 100 times taller. So that's, in terms of size, it's 100 times 100 times 100 times 100. 1, 2, 3 hundreds. And that's 6 zeros, so that's 1,000,000 times the volume. And the density does creep up on the inside. Are suns perfectly circular? The answer is, worse is they are if they're not spinning. Now, if they do spin, it's a bit like getting towards when you're throwing up a pizza. The rotation tends to be an acceleration, which acts against the gravitational acceleration. I'm answering this properly, mate. I'm not telling you there's a force called the centripetal force. That's not something you don't want to say. There's a simple force. It's actually thing. And in fact, in stars, if we see stars, even though it's a tiny spot of light, so it's that cashew, which is cashew, O-U-S, at 47 kilometres or more, okay, up to, I think we can see thousands of thousands, if not millions of kilometres away. The light, it's only a really tiny speck of light. Now, that speck of light tells us information. We put that speck of light in, and we can actually put it through an instrument which measures all the wavelengths of it, and we can see if there's a party going on the star. We know all about it. We can see if a star's rotating. If it's rotating, it's a little bit's coming forwards, a little bit's going away from us. We can tell it. We can tell where the star's travelling. So it's sort of like we only ever get a snapshot of the universe when there's light. Okay, the instant of time is the instant of time now. We can see things happen over time. We can see supernovas that happen over a couple of weeks. And stars, there's a bit of action, but in general, so you're looking at this giant still image. However, computers can add sort of augmented reality over the top of it and add to, I'm just having a check on this, mate. Computers can add things to it. And so for any star up there, if you imagine, that high-tech stuff where they put the artificial data on top of it, and it feels, well, we can actually do that. We can actually put this data. In fact, there's fantastic apps for looking at stars. And so, so we can see if a star's spinning, it gets fat. And we can't see it's fat, it's too far away, but we can tell exactly what it would look like because it's rotating really quick. It's actually fattening out the outside, and there's bits of the star which is going towards us and far away, and there's actually less of the pole star because it's beginning to flatten. So we can actually really see what's going on. And this basically star, all stars have a barcode, believe that. You thought you were good at the supermarket, and we can actually basically do what the checkout people do. That's what astronomers do. The astronomers are glorified checkout people. They actually read the barcodes of stars. When I say barcode, we can actually read the spectra. So there are certain lines which are hot and certain lines which are not. So the hot lines are hot, and the cold lines are not. And so if it's got sort of exhaust and rubbish around the outside, that rubbish takes away. So it's like, I suppose if you're driving through the outback, you'll get lots of bugs. You know, all the bugs will get on the windscreen of your ute. And you can actually say, good God, there's a lot of bugs around there. But moreover, if you've got a ute coming towards you a long distance off, you can see that its light is slightly different. And you can, you know, if you're really smart, and scientists are really smart, you can actually have a good on look at this, see how I'm going for time. Oops, I'm a bit late. Right here. We're going to get there, no worries. Say you've got your ute coming towards us, we can actually look at the lights coming off the headlights or the rear lights, and we can put it through massive computers and see that there's the light missing from the bug spectrum is there, so we can see if a star's got lights around it. Yeah, so that's it. Basic size, are giving you the size of our sun. In general, a hell of a lot of stars are less bright than our sun. And that's mainly because the big ones don't last that long. It's interesting to see how it moves. And I'll give you a podcast at another point in time telling you the actual... just checking that. Give you a podcast at another time telling you how stars... it's spinning. Yeah, what's going on with this spinning? You know, why are stars spinning so much? And what, you know, why do stars all spin the same way? Well, if they do, it'll be pretty amazing because things like that. Okay, the Barbie's finished, and I'll send off this podcast. Good luck. Sorry, it's smelling good. You can't smell it out here, out there in podcast land. Bye.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.